whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Dave Domini, here on behalf of the personal representative of Brandy Block's estate. This case has been here before. The Court concluded that there was inadequate proof of wrongful death and dismissed that claim. The Court remanded this case for consideration of the conscious pain and suffering claim by the trial court. Our position here is that all of the elements of proof of the tort of professional negligence, including the element of proximate cause of conscious pain and suffering, are present in the record that you have before you. Most of those elements are uncontested. There's no question that the physician at issue here had a relationship with the patient. There's no question about the standard of care. The standard of care is conceded. There is abundant evidence that in many different respects the standard of care was violated. The issue is proximate cause. I want to direct you to the deposition testimony of Dr. Carl Greiner, who is the patient's expert witness, at page 43, beginning at line 5. And with your permission, I'd like to read you the exchange of question and answer on that page. The witness has just testified about the standard of care for providing medication. And the question is, okay, but it doesn't have anything causatively to do with the woman's death. Then what relevance does it have? The answer is, well, it speaks to the appropriateness of her care, irrespective of the mode with which she died. Question. But that deficiency, as you define it, in the standard of care doesn't have anything to do ultimately with what resulted in this case, which is the woman's death. And here's the critical answer. Well, there are many outcomes for this young woman. In fact, she died. There's also the question of the appropriateness of her treatment at each point in her care, and that if someone were continuing to suffer psychiatric symptoms, or have worsening psychiatric symptoms when they could have been managed, that is the problem of psychiatric care, whether or not it resulted in death. This woman...
Excuse me, Mr. Dominic. Is that from the first deposition?
There are two reports of this witness. There's only one deposition.
Okay. Prior. So this was the deposition that was taken prior to the first motion for summary judgment.
That's correct, Your Honor. And there was no subsequent deposition. There
just
is a subsequent affidavit and report, which I'll address in just a second.
I'm assuming that recitation is in connection with your argument that even if the court properly excluded that second report, there's sufficient evidence in the deposition to go to causation for pain and suffering.
That's precisely correct, Your Honor. We believe there is. And that brings me to the second affidavit, because I have nothing more to say on the question of whether the record without Exhibit 25, the second report, is sufficient. I think it is clear that it is sufficient. There is a causal connection between the mismanaged psychiatric care of this patient and her conscious pain and suffering without the affidavit. The affidavit, Exhibit 25, which was prepared after your remand order and offered in evidence before the second hearing on the motion for summary judgment, adds virtually nothing to the record except to crystallize causation. It says that in the physician's opinion, Dr. Greiner's opinion, this patient suffered physical, emotional, and mental distress as a proximate result of professional negligence. The very week I assisted this witness with that affidavit, I was attacked for writing expert witness reports in another case, for helping the witness with the legal language. We've come to a point where what the defense has as a handy tool is to say, if it sounds too legalistic, the plaintiff's lawyer did it. And if it doesn't sound legalistic enough, then the record's not adequate. And that dilemma is not fair to the patient. So I submit that what this court ought to do is this. Find, number one, that the original record was adequate on this part of the claim. And find, number two, that the court could have considered Exhibit 25, which did nothing more than crystallize did nothing more than accumulate the evidence of the witness previously and would have been proper for that reason, and you don't have to wrestle with what the nature of your remand order was.
If we find that the original evidence that was submitted at the deposition is sufficient to raise a question of material fact, then to go to that next step, wouldn't that just be dicta?
Yes, it would. And the only value the dicta would have, and the value that dicta generally has, if it has value, is to allow persons some guidance at what remand orders are. I don't read your order in this case, and I may misunderstand it, as an order of specific remand. You did not say this case is reversed and remanded for consideration of the motion for summary judgment as originally submitted. You said reversed and remanded for further proceedings. Those further proceedings could have included a request by the plaintiff for additional time to take more deposition testimony, to investigate the record with further discovery, to amend the pleadings, even to dismiss the case and refile. And all of that, I think, was within the ambit of your original order. The trial court believed that your order, and was persuaded that your order, meant thou shalt consider the summary judgment motion as originally submitted. I think the jurisprudence that would be assisted with dicta, Your Honor, would be to say, look, when we issue a specific remand, it's going to be a thou shalt do specifically this order, and it's not going to say reverse and remand for further proceedings. So if you decide on adding the dicta, from the practitioner's perspective, I think that's the value it would have.
Did I understand you, or perhaps misunderstand your previous comment, that to determine that Exhibit 25 was admissible, we don't need to discuss the meaning of the remand?
Oh, pardon me. No, I think you do need to discuss the meaning of the remand.
Then I misunderstood a comment.
Well,
thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. And I have nothing more. I'll save my time. May I?
Thank you very much. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court, Mr. Domina. My name is Amber Bloom, and I'm here on behalf of Dr. Khan. I guess I'll just briefly touch on Exhibit 25. It seems that Mr. Domina has somewhat conceded that perhaps it is cumulative and not needed. It's our position that it's either cumulative or not. If it is cumulative, I think the Nebraska rules of evidence are clear that it's not allowed. If it's not cumulative, the way we read this court's remand is very clear. This case was a medical malpractice case, and it had a wrongful death aspect and a pain and suffering aspect. The trial court considered them both together and sustained the summary judgment motion. This court said, wait a minute, there are two separate issues. You need to consider them both. We agree the summary judgment should have been sustained under the wrongful death. Consider the conscious pain and suffering. So that's exactly what Judge Enns did. He went back in time to when the summary judgment was submitted to him. He looked at the evidence at that time. And I think that's exactly what this court told Judge Enns to do. And I'll just kind of leave that at that.
Well, let's keep talking for just
okay.
a second. I'm having a little problem with that position. Because I would think that you would have to go to whether or not Exhibit 25 was admissible or not, whether or not it could come in, before you make the determination as to whether or not it's cumulative.
Well, I think...
Because if our remand said no further evidence could come in, then that's the end of the issue.
Absolutely.
And if we say it could come in, then the question becomes whether or not it's cumulative.
That, yes, you can look at it that way.
So I don't think you, but my problem was that I don't think you go to the cumulative part first.
Go to the remand first.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That's my problem with what you were saying. That's why I wanted to explain that to you to see I'm missing the
nope,
point here.
I completely agree. I think either way you look at it, it's not going to come in. Under the mandate, the way we read it, the judge should have just considered this. And I think the plaintiff is focusing on the words further proceedings. And while I understand further proceedings could mean more evidence be allowed, if you look at the totality of the opinion, it really says you didn't consider this, just consider it. And that's how we're interpreting the mandate.
Those words, consider the second issue?
Yes.
That's the magic language that you're standing on that says no further evidence should have been allowed?
Yes, Your Honor. Moving to the proximate conscious pain and suffering, we stand firmly that there is nothing in the Bill of Exceptions and the evidence before you that meets the test required under Nebraska law. I think everyone can agree that the first hurdle has been met. They showed that there was a standard of care. I think everyone can agree that the second hurdle has been met. There is a question of fact if Dr. Kahn deviated from that standard of care. That's all agreed upon. But the plaintiff has missed the third hurdle yet again. They do have no evidence in there that links up anything Dr. Kahn did or didn't do, proximately caused or contributed to cause this girl any conscious pain and suffering. They spend a great deal of time talking about the medication regimen in their brief and in Dr. Greiner's deposition about how he would have done things differently with the medication. And he points out that Dr. Kahn didn't realize that this girl should have been hospitalized. And in the passage that Mr. Domina read, it talked about, wrote down, the symptoms, she was worsening of symptoms. That's all fine and dandy, but he didn't make the proximate cause link. He didn't testify that what Dr. Kahn was doing and the medications that he was giving her proximately caused her to have these injuries. And if I could just speak for a moment on the injuries, I mean, this young lady was very sick, and as unfortunate as it was, this is not something that was new to her life. She had been suffering this disease for years, and that's why Dr. Kahn was attempting to help her and move her medications. He was attempting to help this girl, and these injuries aren't something that have just magically appeared. It was something she was dealing with throughout life. And we just strongly believe that there's absolutely nothing. I've read Dr. Greiner's deposition numerous times. I've read his reports numerous times. There's nothing there linking up anything Dr. Kahn did or failed to do that proximately caused any of these injuries. It's just simply not there. And we believe that's why the plaintiff has now come in and attempted to get this extra affidavit in, whether it's allowed or not. He realizes that the evidence isn't there.
If we find that the exhibit should have been received and should have been considered, Exhibit 25, do you think that that establishes the missing link that you're referring to?
I think the exhibit satisfies the link that is needed. I think it's very clear, and that he says in that exhibit, and I don't have it in front of me, but he says that Dr. Kahn proximately caused this girl's injuries. He laid it out exactly what he needed to prove.
So you don't think it's cumulative?
No, I don't think it's cumulative at all, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you for your honesty.
Any more questions?
No questions. Thank you very much. Mr. Dahman? Before you start, how much time does he have left?
I need only 15 or 20 seconds of that to recall with the court that on summary judgment, the party against whom the motion is made is entitled to all of the inferences that are reasonably deduced from the evidence. In this case, the evidence is that the medication was mismanaged. The medication produces symptoms like the patient suffered. The patient had been stable in her life, well managed for many years, displayed the precise symptoms, was not treated for them, went downhill, and was not managed as she went downhill. The inferences are important on the original record. Exhibit 25 is the ribbon around the package. She's entitled to a trial. Her mother is. She's deceased. She did all she could do with her life, this young lady. I wish I could say that about myself.
Thank you very much. The matter will be deemed submitted. Counsel are excused. Thank you for coming in today.